Welcome to Life and Lattes with Paula, Andy and Lisa. Three friends, one table and you. Sit down and let's get three cups deep.
Hello and welcome to Life and Lattes. We are so excited to have you with us. This is a recording, so unfortunately we're not going to get your WhatsApps today. But thank you for the WhatsApps last week. I wanted to read some on air, but my phone just died, so I can't. But I do remember one offhand, and that was from someone who said, this conversation pops. So I really hope today's conversation also pops. Today's topic is Andy's initiative. And it could only be Andy's initiative because it's on time management. And Lisa and I, Lisa between being time blind and me being a time waster, well, let's say recovering time waster, we really do not have much to say. So this is going to be an intense coaching session. So thank you in advance, Andy. Hello, Andy. And hello, Lisa.
Hello, hello.
Hello, hello.
So I think that we can start with our usual espresso yourself. And I have to say that I am exhausted. Yesterday I spent like 8 hours in front of the computer writing an article on near-death experiences. And it really like just...
That's enough to make anyone exhausted.
Yeah, it was incredible. And it's like
it's been... It could make you want to die.
It's been a passion of mine really for like decades. I've always been fascinated.
To nearly die or to do the article on it?
God forbid.
Yeah,
no, just I'm just very interested in near-death experiences. Yeah. So anyway, I did this article and I sat in front of my computer and I wrote for 8 hours. And then today, I was saying to my husband, I wanted to go out with my son for the day. And he's like, you can't take the day off. Like, you know, you have to, there's like more work to do. And I was like, first of all, you're not the boss of me. But second of all, he is the boss of me because I do actually work for him, theoretically, at his ad agency. But my first thing is, you're not the boss of me. And second of all, my brain is not a factory. And I have got to rest after I've produced an article. I need a day where I just do nothing. He's like, that's what the night is for. I was like, okay, that's maybe true for you. But when it comes to me, my brain is not a factory. And I need downtime after I've done that. So that is why I'm tired. And that was the little tiff we had.
I remember doing this workout program called Insanity, and it's not called Insanity for nothing. It's like proper insanity. But I had to psych myself up every morning for this workout because I was like, what is he going to bring today? Like, I really had to mentally prepare.
Yeah.
And then I remember switching on the app for the one morning session, and the app was rest and recovery. And I thought, what? And then he comes on and he's talking to you and there's stretching and there's rest and recovery. And he goes on to explain that rest and recovery is actually not in contradiction to insanity. It's very much part of it because to prevent injury and to allow your muscles to really work their magic, you have to incorporate rest and recovery into such intense workouts.
Exactly.
And it was such a mindset shift for me. You know, rest and recovery is injury prevention, and it is very much part of insanity.
Exactly. And it's also, I've told my husband in terms of his life, is that because he does push himself constantly and he works day and night. Mm. And I always say, you've got to protect the asset, you know, and that's the thing. Like, my brain is the asset.
And then I am your asset. So protect me.
He was very sweet because he then this morning said to me, no, he's sorry that he was just in a bad mood and he should never have said that I can't take the day off. And of course, I must rest. And he wants to take me out for dinner. So good.
Aww.
Good. I'm glad he caught a wake up and I didn't have to sulk all day. So that's my espresso myself. Maybe a little bit of an overshare. That's what happens on the show. Andy, have you got anything to share?
I was actually just telling Lisa how culturally, you know, we've lived here for so many years, like 25 years. And it doesn't fail to surprise me how you get a last minute invitation to all things in the system. So my daughter's in this dance show tonight, which is literally in about 3 hours. And about half an hour ago, we get the invitation again, but this time it's a whole dress code.
Oh, God.
And I'm like, wow, like really? 3 hours before, there's now a theme and a color code and a dress code. And So we were joking, Lisa and I, how even in Ghana, like if you've done your Shabbos shopping and it's Thursday evening and you're out with friends or you're out for dinner or you're watching TV and chilling and it's 9:30 p.m., then you get a message from the Ganenet. It's so exciting. Shani is going to be Imashel Shabbat tomorrow and you need to bring this.
Oh my goodness.
Yeah. So nothing changes. Yeah.
I love that. That's Israel time.
Yeah.
No one's surprised.
Yeah. Like no one is surprised and everyone arrives with everything they need.
How do they do it? How do they pull the rabbit out the hat?
But I think there are certain things that I have discovered. Like, I don't like a lot of things that people think Israelis are used to. Like, for example, we are not used to war. We are not used to sending our kids off to the army. Mm-hmm. Like, we're not good with missiles from Iran. We're not used to it. Like, all of that stuff, that's not true. But there are certain things, and I guess this will be, that I have discovered my kids are used to. For example, personal space in queues. You know, Israelis, they don't queue long ways, they queue sideways. And, you know,
I'm trying like to picture sideways. That's like so out of my realm of reality.
You don't stand one behind the person. That's not how Israelis understand queuing. It's like, let's just queue sideways next to you wherever, right? And that would like really like trouble me. And I would be like questioning all my Aliyah choices for at least 20 years at why I have put up with people that think it's okay to push in front of me and how much it distresses me to no end. And then I've discovered my children, not one of them is fazed by it. And then
it's all they've ever known.
Literally.
All they've ever known.
I looked at Shai the other day. I went, are you not fazed by this guy who just pushed in front of us? And he went, no, I'm fazed by why we're such idiots who didn't get in front of him.
Totally. Well, there's a word for that.
I'm once in a long queue in Europe where I saw the queue was round the block and so far. And I just did what any other Israeli would do and go right to the front and say, Yesh li rak sheila. I just have one question. And the guy's like, fine.
But there's definitely a word for that. My sister used to tell me that if
chutzpah?
You... No, not the chutzpah, like the... Oh, friar. If you're not the one pushing in, you're a friar, you know?
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah, but I mean,
I love Israeli.
I mean, extends to many aspects. Like, part of why they'll knock you off the road is because they're just not going to be a friar and let you in.
But then they'll take a bullet for you.
They will take a bullet for you
in a heartbeat.
But I do think they need a little bit more South African manners. I think that's...
We're trying.
That's it. We need a...
I mean, are you for fun? Thanks.
You know, just the how's it and thank you, please, thank you. Like all of just the niceties. I think that you know...
South Africans are so nice.
I think that South Africans need to contribute that culture and instead of trying to blend in.
We love you. Yeah, to all our listeners, you are hands down the nicest people. I will say sometimes I would just prefer, like I have discovered with some of my South African friends that have like a newer Olim, I have to like check in with my medium range South African friends. I'm like, because I get South African because I always think I'm culturally South African because, you know, I'm from there. But then I realize there's some South Africanness like I don't fully get. Like you say it's fine and stunning, but is it? Like, do you mean it?
Yeah, it's people pleasing. We do people please a lot. And so I think honesty sometimes gets sacrificed. All in all, I think overall we still
South Africans
still
are
rather
winning.
Have that.
Yeah.
Okay, I love that shout out to South Africans. And
It's funny, in my workshop they were playing background music and one of the songs was Toto's song, you know, Africa. And I was dancing while I was setting up the mat and the cards and this one girl came up to me and she said, this is literally my favorite song. And she goes, do you know it? And I said, hello, you can take the girl out of Africa, but you never take Africa out the girl.
Oh, I love that. And I just love that we can share these South Africanisms and the Israelisms and just have a mutual appreciation society here. I just love it.
Yeah.
And then we are going to come back with our single shot.
Welcome to Life and Lattes with Paula, Andy and Lisa. Three friends, one table and you. Sit down and let's get three cups deep.
You are listening to Life and Lattes. I'm Paula Levine. If you've just joined us, I'm joined here as every week with Lisa Kramer and Andy Saitovitz in Renana. Such a joy to spend time with you girls every week. And we've just espressoed ourselves and we are now ready for the single shot. Andy, go for it.
So it's so funny talking about how Israelis are just a breed of their own, and it's actually amazingly unbelievable. There was this viral video about a missile that fell near Yokneam. It's like 45 minutes away from Ra'anana North. And when it fell, it like created this hole in the ground and this like natural spring and like Mayan kind of water pool has formed.
Wow.
And now all the Israelis have a new spring to go swim in. And you cannot believe this video of like a missile falls, forms like a water little dam.
That's incredible.
And yes. And the Israelis are like, fab, let's make lemonade out of lemons. And they're all swimming.
That is beautiful.
You must see the video. It's actually amazing.
Who was it from? Yeah. Who was that gift from? Iran? Hezbollah?
It was a gift from Iran.
Beautiful.
And we unwrapped it.
I love
and,
that.
On Jewish Breaking News, they've got a very funky viral video.
That is so gorgeous. Because here we actually, we joke about it here because the roads are so full of potholes that we've got this head of the DA, Helen Zilla, and she makes these videos, but she actually swims in them. She gets into scuba gear and she actually will go properly swimming in them. But I mean, that's just, it's a stunt and it's a statement. But this is not a stunt or a statement. This is people just enjoying the spring.
Messages. Yeah.
I love that single shot. Oh, that is gorgeous. That is only in Israel. Amazing. Lise, have you got a single shot for us today? No, not at all. You know what? It's a bit late in the day for single shots. We're actually recording this.
We need double espressos.
And we are. I mean, I really do. I'm just really starting to feel it, but I've got my water here. But it just, water does not cut the mustard on Life and Lattes. No, no, no.
Terrible. And I started this new rule that I'm trying not to drink coffee past 3 p.m. And I'm like,
how's that going?
Why did I do that to myself? Like, honestly, why? And then I'm like, well, if I have some left over, even if it's cold, does it count?
You know what? Put ice in it and make it into an iced coffee. Then it's more,
right?
You know, yeah.
Right.
But Andy, your sister Lauren, she's hilarious. She's my meme queen. She sends out these memes and they are just so funny. One of her memes was, I tried not getting coffee every day and saving the money and it wasn't worth it. Just not worth it. The joy you get from that, you know, it's exponential.
I feel like the pain has to be worth the pleasure. Like my husband is massively into ice bathing. So we have a freezer in our garden.
Gosh.
And his mates come over, his friends come over on a Friday afternoon and they have their freezer and then they have pre-Shabbos whiskeys and whatever. But I look at them and I think, I'm so glad that they are enjoying. There is nothing about getting into 2 degrees temperature for 4 minutes or 2 minutes. I ever like
wow, that's
this.
Long. 4 minutes is long.
Until there's no amount of pleasure that is actually worth that pain for it. It's just not
so
like
painful.
I feel the pleasure has to be worth the pain.
Yeah.
I'm debating my 3 p.m. coffee rule because I feel
I
like that pain
it.
Is worth
as long as you can sleep at night. Is that why you took it on?
I think a lot of that's in your head.
I don't think so. Caffeine is a stimulant. It really is.
No, it is a stimulant.
Well, it's not actually just that you can't sleep. I will put that out there as a note to the public. What they do say is coffee past a certain hour creates like that your quality of sleep gets really reduced.
Yeah, and it stays in your system.
Interesting.
So I am trying, given the massive amount of ADHD that I carry, time management talk, I was trying to improve the quality of my sleep at least, not to mention apparently from 47, whoever wants to know, your sleep along with my watering eyes and everything else also goes to rubbish. So,
oh, that reminds me, I did have another single shot and that's what I wanted to share. I, talk about aging, have got my first pair of glasses because I've actually been short-sighted for 2 years now, but I've been in denial. And I've been happy to live in a blur, which is pathetic, but I was too vain. I was like, I can't start wearing glasses. You know, I was just not used to
it. What are you trying to say?
Eventually, no, it's just not, I was not used to it for my face. And my husband, the look of shock on his face, he wasn't used to it either. But I did it. I bit the bullet.
We should just say for our listeners, Andy is sporting a solid pair of gorgeous glasses.
And always has. She rocks them and she always has.
No. One time I had a really revolting pair of white frames. And my husband did not know how to tell me they were awful. So when I came home, I was like, do you like my new glasses? And his only response was, do you like them?
I love that. That's diplomatic, though. He could have said, no, they're disgusting. I love that. What do you think?
Do you like
clever,
them?
Clever, Aaron. Good deflection.
I was much less subtle with my husband. I went, I hate your glasses. Why did you buy them? They're awful. And to punish me for that, he wore them for 4 years until they broke. And then we had to bury into a funeral for the glasses that Lisa hates.
That is
hates.
Hilarious. And he remembered that for 4 years. That's a grudge he held on to. Wow.
Literally, that's so funny.
In it for the long haul. We are about to get 3 cups deep, but I did want to mention one thing about the coffee thing. Number one, Liz, you could try this. Apparently matcha, some people hate the taste. I happen to love the taste, although it's 3 times the price of coffee. But it doesn't give you the jitters. So you could have it in the afternoon without
taste,
that.
It's disgusting.
It tastes like literally mud. It tastes like you're eating soil. I don't know.
You see, I love the taste. And you put a little shot of vanilla, and a vanilla matcha latte is absolutely delicious. But yeah, I think it's like Marmite. You either love it or you hate it. The first sip I had, I enjoyed it. And most people spit it out. But yeah, and Marmite I can't look at. So I guess it's totally subjective. Fine. Okay, so that's not going to work. But listen to this interesting thing I came across in a book that I read yesterday. Yes, me, Paula Levine, I also read a book. And you know why? Because I've now have my alarm clock next to my bed and my phone in the next room. But anyway, I read this book and it said that the biggest discovery to change humanity was coffee. Because apparently in the olden days, but this is like pre-industrial revolution, the reason people were drunk all the time, and there's one reason for that, is because drinking water was so polluted that they would get sick and die from it. So they would drink beer from morning to night and they would constantly sloshed. And so that is why humanity never, ever progressed until the invention of coffee. And when people started drinking coffee.
Oh, it's a public service, actually.
Yes, it is. But they started drinking coffee.
I'm thinking, what was wrong with us? That sounds wonderful.
Why did we change? Can you imagine? Have you ever heard this? It's an incredible book called Abundance.
But what were we thinking? What were we thinking? That sounds wonderful.
Lisa wants to turn back the clock. And Andy, this segues us into our topic, 3 cups deep, on time management. Can we turn back the clock? Can we? What can we do? Time is time.
Okay, I just want it to be said, in case any of our listeners are feeling the same way, I hear the word time management and I am hyperventilating. Mm. I feel slightly anxious at the thought.
Mm. Okay, so we're going to turn this on its head to calm Lisa down.
And me. I also need to calm down.
And Paula. And what we are going to do is, instead of looking at time management as time management, we are going to think about it as energy management. And when we manage our energy differently, we make different choices about our priorities. We make different choices about what we consider higher value or lower value activities. And we even make choices around what we want to delegate to other people, what we want to say yes or no to, what time of day we want to be doing something. You know, when your energy is at your prime, that's when you want to be doing your higher value activities. When your energy is naturally lower, you want to be doing lower value activities. So we don't only have to look at it as time management. We really can look at it as energy management as well.
I like that. That's interesting. That is a very interesting perspective on it, that don't think of it as time management.
Or not only as time management, but to answer your question, no, you can never regenerate time. It's actually the only resource that you won't get back. You know, if you lose money, you can earn more, can earn again. If you forget something, you can look it up. But if you lose time, you can't ever get it back.
But I know this, and I think everyone knows this, but why does that make no difference?
I'm sorry, because most of the things you say, I hear you and I am all in. But I hear someone you can't see me on video, but I'm literally ADHDing. I hear people start talking about time and all I hear is blah, 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 blah. It's literally like if my husband's giving me directions, like, I understand you. You lost me at left. Okay. You lost me at left.
Oh, that's so funny. Okay, yeah, we all know time is precious. So you can't get time back. Every minute is precious. And why does that not impact our behavior? I mean, we know we have 24 hours and we've all read those things that, like, you know, if you had that money in the bank account, and you knew you would have to spend it, and then, but at the end of the day, it would reset. You would make sure that you spent every cent of it. You wouldn't leave it to go to go to waste. But we do that with time, and I think that I don't like pressure. I find I'm always in a rush. I'm always on time, but I'm always in a rush. And I'd love to know why that is, and maybe if I could, I don't know.
Another question to it. You know, when I was a young mom, there used to be this like question around kids of saying like, is it quality time or quantity time with children, of which actually I think both are nonsense. It's for some women, you need quality time, and for some mothers, you need quantity time. What children really need is for you to
presence.
Well, yeah, they need you to see them behind their behavior. And maybe you do that in 1 minute, and maybe you do that in 4 hours, but that they feel that you get me.
And I think we
have these debates around time and time management. And I feel like, but so much of our life happens in connection and in relationship. And then I get to the time piece and I really get stuck. Besides that, my brain doesn't commute that way. Like when I hear like that, we're talking about, you know, where do I want to put my energy? I'm like, I want to put my energy in people I can energize or in people who energize me. And like, how do I calculate what that looks like? I'm not sure. And I always get a little bit lost in this conversation. And that I do suffer from time blindness. Like, you know, part of, and I guess this might be helpful for any ADHD, parents of ADHD kids there. ADHD has been terribly diagnosed as an attention deficit disorder, which it actually is not. It's a dysregulation of the nervous system. And so what it really is, one of the big, big features of ADHD is time blindness, which is if it's not happening now, it's just not happening. So like to say to your kid, you're so disorganized, why haven't you learned for that test in 3 weeks? Because they don't even understand what 3 weeks means until there's enough adrenaline and endorphins and stress in the system. The starter button that says, yeah, like, let's start, it does not kick in. It just doesn't kick in. Yeah. And so they need that. And it only kicks in, lo and behold, at the last minute. Mm. And so, well, I feel all the pressure and stress, and I wish I didn't do it that way. Sometimes that last minute, I'm like the queen of it. And then I spend more time feeling guilty because of all this pressure around how precious time is.
Okay, we're going to take a break and we will come back.
Welcome to Life and Lattes with Paula, Andy, and Lisa. Three friends, one table, and you. Sit down and let's get three cups deep.
And welcome back to Life and Lattes. You've made the conversation very real and the struggle very real. And so your struggle is that you need that dopamine, you need that adrenaline, you need that stress to have that on button pushed, start, go, get going. And so 3 weeks before, it's not, and I definitely relate to that. I also thrive on deadlines and pressure. That's the career that I've gone into. But I have another issue, which maybe you can also try address, Andy, Dr. Andy, and you know, in the house. We really, we need quite a lot of help with this. I procrastinate. So I have something to do and, you know, and yes, it's only due next week, Tuesday. So if I could just decide, okay, I'm only going to do it next Monday, that would be fine. But I don't. I decide, oh, I must do it tomorrow. Then tomorrow comes and tomorrow goes. And then I feel bad because now I've procrastinated. Then I'm definitely going to do it today. And the cycle just repeats. I build up this anxiety. I'm like, yes, I'm going to start it. I don't start it. I wasted the whole day being stressed. If I'd only known I'm not going to do it, why would it? Then just do something else and don't stress about it. I don't know. I've never been able to solve that. You know, fine, do it at the last minute, but then don't stress about it and procrastinate about it, you know, all along and feel bad that you haven't started it. I'm 46. This is the pattern that I'm in. I would love to get out of it. So, you got your work cut out for you, Andy.
Hey, let's dive in.
Let's dive in.
So I think that it's really important with time management or energy management to actually take a step back and not be so focused right now on the actual time. Mm-hmm. So this is the task I'm going to do, and each task needs to be time, and using my schedule and using my clock and using my watch and using my calendar. That comes later. Remember in our previous calls when we spoke about goal achievement or transformation, three things have got to happen before you get practical, before you actually put in and implement a strategy. And those three things are what we call vision, identity, and values. And those three things have got to be clear in high resolution detail before you can literally take action, any action.
So time management doesn't start with pulling out a calendar.
It doesn't start after pulling out a calendar, blocking out your time, tracking your time, taking inventory. Yes, that is all extremely important, but not yet. Mm-hmm. Three things have to happen first. Number one is a clear vision. A person has to get clear on what their desired outcome looks like. So questions around vision would be, what do I want my life to be like? What do I want my life to feel like?
I'm literally taking notes.
Good.
My word.
What do I want my life to be like? What do I want my life to feel like? What would an ideal day look like? What would an ideal week look like? What would, if I almost swallowed a magical pill that transported me into the future, and I was literally nailing my energy management and my time management, how would I know? What would that look like? So the first thing to do, and this is true for every goal or any upgrade you want to make in your life, is really saying, what is that picture of success? How will I know? Mm. How will I know that that is my destination, or that is what I'm trying to accomplish? Second question is around identity.
Before we go into the second, should we try and make that practical? Like, I'm just thinking, okay, what's the vision? The vision is, I don't want to have that feeling at the end of the day that I intended to go to gym, or I intended
Word your vision in the positive, not I don't want to have that feeling. How do you want to feel? What would it look like? And what would it feel like? Yes. Those are very important questions. Not just what you see in your mind, which is hugely important, because you don't create change just by behavior. You first have to see something in your mind before you can act it in your life. Mm. And then ask yourself, how do I wish to feel?
I think that whenever we want to do future orientated work, you want to try and ground that feeling in your body, because our mind actually follows our body, funnily enough.
Brilliant.
And so when I can actually interpret, a lot of that is, if anyone wants to look it up, check out Joe Dispenza. But a lot of that is looking at, what would that future me physically feel like? And when you can recognize the feeling, you train your emotions and your physical body towards it, as opposed to the other way around.
I love that, because as you were saying that, Anne, before I even could put words to it, I had a feeling in my head of how I want to feel at the end of the day. I couldn't really describe like why I have that feeling, and maybe that's what I need to do. But I definitely, I love that, Liz, to like take that feeling and let that be your guide. Like, I want to feel that.
Describe it. Literally write a script. Say, this is my ideal day. This is how I wake up.
Yeah.
This is what I'm doing.
I have to tell you that if you're listening, you really need to pay attention here, because Lisa's even taking notes, and she didn't think this topic would have anything to do with her. But more than that, this is the exact same conversation we had in our very first show in January. And that is when I decided my goal was to quit vaping. And we are now in July, and I did it because of this process. So pay attention. Okay. Right. So the vision, that's step one. Okay.
Step one, getting clear on that vision. What does it look like? What does it feel like?
Yes.
And to write that script in the present tense, using positive language as if that is the scenario. I've jumped into that reality.
Okay.
Question two is around your identity. You have to almost build a new identity for your future self, which is the person who is living out that new vision. So you can't be branding yourself and labeling yourself and using adjectives like, I'm a procrastinator, I'm unreliable, I'm not a good time manager. You now have to give yourself this whole new brand, this new identity of, I manage my time well, I manage my energy well, I make great choices, I'm on top of my day, I choose higher value activities first. I own my calendar. My calendar doesn't own me.
I read more books. I spend less time on my phone.
Yes,
I
you are literally creating this
twice
new
a week.
Brand. Mm. Yes, introduce me to new future you.
Mm-hmm.
And that version of yourself is aligned with the vision and the picture you've created of new success or a new way of feeling efficient and effective and productive and calm, etc. Whatever you want to feel.
Okay.
And then the third thing, and bear in mind, these are all mental. This is mental preparation. You are literally could do this lying on your bed. You do not have to take any action yet. But the third one are your values, and your values answer the question, why? Why is this important to me? Why do I care about making this change? Why do I want to manage my energy and my time? Why is making the most of this precious resource so important to me? Why is it worth it? And when you have got a vision, which always answers what, and an identity, which always answers who, and values, which always answer why, you have laid a very fundamental foundation or platform for now starting to think of new habits or new disciplines or behavioral upgrades or resources or knowledge or skills or whatever it is that you want to bring into your life, because you know where you are headed. So you've got a clear destination or a clear desired outcome. You know who you wish to become, or this new way of being, this new way of showing up in your life, because without that, you have no version of yourself to illuminate or inform decisions and choices. And you have a set of values, which we need for motivation, because change is freaking hard and change is difficult and sometimes boring and sometimes requires energy and fuel. And where is that going to come from? It comes from connecting to your values.
Yes, like say you want to go to gym.
Yeah. Yes.
And then it's a bit cold, or you want to go for a run and it's a bit hot, and it's a bit, then your values.
There's always an excuse or something.
Gets you through those excuses. But I think I want to talk about what you were saying. I love that. So you got to start with this, with a mental process. And time management is then a tool. Is that what you're saying? To achieve those
time management then becomes the how. Exactly.
The how.
So you've really worked on a what, a who, and a why.
Yeah.
And then you can bring in one strategy or 10 strategies, which become, now how do I behaviorally, or, you know, by instilling new habits and new disciplines and new systems, that then becomes the how, which is already action. But before we take action, we have to get clear on what, who, and why.
You know what bugs me is that I have like a to-do list in my head that swims around day after day. The same things. That it's not that I ever write them down and then say, okay, now I'm going to do it. It just swims around like a broken record on repeat. And I would just love to know, why can't I just do it? You know, Liz, you said on a previous show, just do it. Okay. I don't know how to do that. I don't know. I've gotten used to the.
Now you're building a system. Now you're going to use a specific framework to help you change that.
Okay. We're going to take a break, and then we are going to come back to this, the step.
Welcome to Life and Lattes with Paula, Andy, and Lisa. Three friends, one table, and you. Sit down and let's get three cups deep.
Welcome back to Life and Lattes. This is getting very interesting, very, very interesting indeed. So, and I think I want to also come back to what you said about energy management, because I feel like that's the hard reality against which all our vision and our goals and our who we want to be is then meets reality. Because like for me, for example, I'm not really a morning person. I'm not really an afternoon person.
By the way, that's exactly what you would put into identity.
Okay.
When you say I'm not a morning person, future self might very well be.
No, and future so self is
really
not.
Really need to. Well, again, it depends on what you really want. Yeah. But it really
okay,
is,
maybe.
You know, there's this imaginary thread that links vision, identities, values, and then your strategies and your behaviors and your environment and all those other stages. And that imaginary thread is your mindset, is your inner narrative, is how you are talking to yourself.
Okay.
And you will never perform against that belief. So if I'm thinking something, I'm not going to show up differently in my life.
No, good. But the point remains that there are times of the day where your energy dips or where, you know, you just can't do the things that, you know, for example, writing, like I need like a block of time to do writing. I can't like just, okay, I've got 20 minutes, let me start writing an article. It's not how it works. I've got to be in the zone. I've got to be focused. I've got to be totally absorbed. Correct. And I need 4 hours. Otherwise, I'm not going
to
start.
No, so that's why when you get to the behavioral stage and you've done your what, your who, and your why, and you're really clear on that is my vision. That's my desired outcome. That's how I want to feel. That's who I want to be. These are the values that are motivating and driving this change. Mm. Then you can now say, okay, let me do a full activity inventory.
Ooh,
let me
that.
Look at what I do in my day, everything. If you're doing this just about work, what are all the tasks and activities that are involved in my work day? If you're doing this in your personal life, what are all the things that I do every day, from laundry and dishes and shopping and cooking to time with my kids to homework to seeing friends to going to the gym, everything. You do a proper activity inventory. And then you're absolutely right. We all have different energy peaks or dips. We call it prime. And when you are at your prime, most people's prime is in the morning before lunchtime. It's not a given. It's not for everyone. But that is a very wide consensus.
Okay.
And then what you would do is schedule higher value activities like your big chunk of work and writing. That would need to happen in prime.
Mm.
Whereas lower value activities, and by lower value, I don't necessarily mean they're not important. Sometimes a lower value activity can even be defined as something I could delegate to someone else, even though I'm now going to do it myself. Whereas your writing, you wouldn't necessarily delegate to anyone.
Mm.
So that is definitely a high value activity.
Right, like shopping. Shopping, it's you still have to do it. It has to be done, whether you're sitting and ordering on Checkers or whatever. It's time that's going to have to be taken up. But
it's
can
a
do
lower
that.
Value activity.
Yes.
You can do that when your energy is not in prime.
Oh, so that's so clever. So low value doesn't actually mean that it's not a necessary part of your life. It just means you don't need your full energy for it. So then you allocate, that's
yes,
clever.
Yes, because you want to look at your whole activity inventory. And in an ideal world, if you look at the 80-20 rule, 80% of your productivity and your contribution and your output in a meaningful way connected to your vision and your identity and your values will be related to 20% of those activities, which means if you've got 10 things on your to-do list, two of those things are going to be the most worthy, the most valuable, the highest value activity.
Only two and out of the 10. Okay.
Well, again, if you're using the 80-20 rule, yes. And those two things need to be done before anything else. So those
that.
Two things
priorities.
Have to be done in prime. Exactly.
Okay. So you need priorities before you start dishing up what you're going to do when.
Just so you know, priorities is a very new thing. Up until a few years ago, there was only one priority. It was never a plural word.
Yes, it shouldn't
just
be a plural word.
Just decided that there can be more than one priority, and now there are priorities.
It's very true. I've also read a book about that, that priorities is a complete misnomer. Because it just means.
But exactly. So if you get into this habit now and this new routine and system of doing your highest value activity first before anything else, when you're in your prime, you may very well never get everything done on your to-do list every day, but you will always accomplish your highest value
activity. Oh, I love that. I love that. But just, can we go back to the vision step? How do you practically do that? Is it journaling? Is it like drawing a picture? I like what Lisa said about bringing it into the body. Like you could literally sit and visualize.
I have another question. What about for people, let's say you want a life upgrade, you want to change something, you want to start a new project, I don't know, whatever, but you work a 9-to-5 job. Mm-hmm. And so your prime capacity is often given to maybe a job you're trying to move out of. how does one navigate that on a time basis?
Yeah. So again, you know, there's never just a one size fits all answer, but you would then change things around a little bit differently. So you may decide if you are current, if current self, for example, is comfortable being a morning person, you may wake up earlier and start to even dedicate a little bit of your capacity to whatever that project is a little bit earlier on in the day. So when a person says to me, I can only work out in the morning. I can't work out after a long day's work, but I work every day from 9 to 5. Okay, you may have to get up earlier and do your workout at 6 a.m. Mm. You know, there is always, we've got that critic who's always going to bring up, but what could go wrong and why won't this work and why is my current schedule not enabling this? But the dreamer, which is another part of our creative mechanism, is always open to new suggestions. And you have to hand over to your dreamer to problem solve. You have to say, okay, so if I technically have to be at work at that time frame, how can I start my day differently?
Mm, what else have I got to play with? We don't have much time left, but I want to just reflect back to the beginning of the show when I was saying about this article I wrote on near-death experiences. One of the most fascinating thing that every single person who's had a near-death experience or thinks they've had one, whether it was a dream or a hallucination or whatever it was, they all experience what's called a life review, where they literally watch the entire video of their entire life, every moment, and they see the whole thing. And I just think it's so important. I don't want to watch that life review and see myself staring at a screen for hours and hours every day. I don't want to see that. And that's definitely part of my vision. My vision is, okay, don't put it in the negative, put it in the positive. I want to see a life well utilized, a life
And what does
lived.
That mean?
Yes.
Every time you see yourself using big words, ask yourself, and now what does that mean? How do I explain that to my two-year-old self? If my life is well utilized, so what am I doing? Mm. What do I see myself doing? That will give you such valuable clues and insights into what you can then put into the practical.
What, who, and why? Start to flesh that out, and you may very well find that time management is not as daunting or as much of a mystery or as boring as you might have thought. So let that percolate. We'll see you all next week.